Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're in number 18 in our Lessons from Luke. Stay tuned. Last program in Luke chapter 7 verses 1 to 10, we saw Jesus dealing with a centurion, a man who seemingly looked very successful, had everything going in a good way, except that a good friend, or in fact his servant, was sick, and Jesus came and he healed him. Now in Luke chapter 7 verse 11 to 17, we have a very different story. This time it's a widow, her only son is dead, and appearing on the surface, she's exactly the opposite of the centurion. She's not got a good outlook on life here as far as her future is concerned. We're going to read the verses here. It says in verse 11, it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, that is, Jesus did that, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, Arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Well, who do we have in this story? We have Jesus, obviously. It says in verse number 11, He went into a city called Nain. It's interesting. You look in the scriptures, just punch in your computer, Jesus went. You'll find that 21 times. He went to all Galilee. He went to all the cities and the villages. He went through a cornfield one time. He went to synagogue. He went to the temple, to Jerusalem. He went to the Mount of Olives. He went to many, many places. Finally, he went to Calvary. Well, this day he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, it says his disciples, many of them went with him. Now, that doesn't mean just the 12. There's a difference in disciples and apostles. There was 12 apostles. There was many disciples. There's a big group of them here following him. However, most of them will defect. We read in John chapter 6 when they said, Teach us what we must do to work the works of God. He told them what they needed to do and they followed him no more. And Jesus said to his 12 apostles, Will ye also go away? Well, on this particular day, they're coming into this city of Nain. The disciples, the crowd, much people, a very happy situation. Well, they come across another group, another large group, and this time there's a dead man in verse number 12. His mother in verse 12 says she was a widow. She's a sad woman, a concerned woman. What about her future? Her husband is dead. Now her only son is dead. Women didn't work in those days, so what about her future? Well, the Bible says in verse 13, there was much people of the city with her. So we have two groups of people, one very happy as they came along, about a day's journey. It must be getting near the evening now as they come to this place called Nain. So we have a happy group of people, we have a sad group of people. And then we have in verse 14, they that bear him. Now we would call it a coffin, really it was a stretcher that he was on. And so we have this situation. What is the purpose? Now, everything that Jesus did, he did with a purpose. What was the purpose of God? Well, we see back in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 10, it says there that the Lord said, I am God, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I also will do it. God is God, and He is in charge of everything. God has a purpose, and He's working that purpose today through some of the people in our government who think they're in charge. They're just lining things up for us so we can get on into the tribulation period, and it's coming ahead. Every country in the world right now is building up for war, and obviously something's coming, and all you gotta do is read the Bible and you can figure out what's coming. They'll call it World War III. God calls it the tribulation period. Well, thankfully, the Bible says those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will be raptured out of this world prior to that big battle. In any event, verse 12, we read here in Luke chapter 7, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Now, again, the word behold, it says, now take notice here. Something is happening. Something is happening. So not only do we see the purpose of God, we see the providence of God. God is going to do. He said, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I have purposed it, and I will do it. And so things come into our lives sometimes, and we need to stop and just realize that God is in charge. Years ago, I read a quote by Alan Redpath that really helped me a lot through the years, and this is what he said. There is nothing, no circumstance, no trouble, no testing that can ever touch me until, first of all, it has gone past God and past Christ right through to me. If it has come that far, it has come with a great purpose, which I may not understand at the moment. But as I refuse to become panicky, as I lift up my eyes to Him and accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing to my own heart, no sorrow will ever disturb me, no circumstance will cause me to fret, for I shall rest in the joy of what my Lord is. Now, let's look at that quote in relationship to what's happening here in this story. We have this widow, she's obviously has no husband, her only son is dead. We have a very sad situation as the day begins, but as the day ends, we see the great purpose that God has in all of this. This story took place, it says in verse 11, in a city called Nain. Now, Nain, it still exists there today, very small, but it's there. It's about 20 miles from Capernaum, and about 6 miles southwest of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. It is 3 miles west of a town called Endor, and you've heard of the witch of Endor. It was a very insignificant little town, and we find that we've seen in other broadcasts as we've gone through this book of Luke, that a lot of things that happened concerning the purpose of Jesus Christ happened in insignificant places. Well, Jesus determined to go to Nain, and a huge group joined him, and they're going about a day's journey to get there. Now, this place is very near Shunem, where Elijah was used of God to bring a boy back to life. And so all of this is happening where the stories are there about what God has done in days gone by. And so we see the providence of God. We see the purpose of God, and then we read in verse 13, when the Lord saw her, that is the widow, He had compassion on her, and we see the passion of God, which is an intense desire to do something. Well, He said in verse 13, weep not. Now, that's a strange thing to say at a funeral. In that culture at that time, they actually hired people to come and weep and to wail and to mourn. And I'm sure that when Jesus said, weep not, they looked at Him like, what are you talking about? Well, He came then, it says, and in verse 13, and touched the bier, and they that bare Him stood still. Well, I imagine they did. He touched it. Now, that's important because you go back into the Old Testament laws and you'll find that they were not to come near a dead body. The Jews, they would be contaminated if they did. And He touched it. He touched lepers too. And they that bear him stood still. All of a sudden, everything comes to a stop. Then we have the command. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up. Now, they're on a, they don't have coffins there like we do today. It's kind of like he's on a stretcher. And he's all wrapped up in cloth, how they did that when they buried them. And when he sat up, it says he began to speak. Now, it doesn't tell us what he said, but I'm sure he said, would somebody help me get out of this cloth? Anyway, they did, and he, that is Jesus, delivered him to his mother. Now, we see in verse number 16, and there came a fear on all. A fear. That is a response. A response of respect. We've got sinners in the presence of God. And it says they glorified God. Now notice what it says in verse 16. They said, a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. A great prophet? No, they were wrong. This is not a great prophet. This is Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said to his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, well, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter had the right answer. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, sure, they're going to say a great prophet, sort of like back there when Elijah and Elisha were in this area and someone was raised from the dead in that situation there, and they didn't do it. They prayed and God did it. Now, in this time, it's not a great prophet that's there. It's the Son of God who is there. Well, verse 17 says this rumor, that word has been translated an account 8 times. This account of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. What account? That a great prophet is amongst us. Though it is the Son of God who is there. And so we read back in John chapter 2 and verse 24 through 25, it says that Jesus did not commit himself unto man because he knew all men, and he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew exactly how this situation was going to turn out. These same people who were taking this report about the great prophet would soon be amongst the group that would be saying, crucify him, crucify him. Well, in conclusion, we want to look at something that's missing here. In our story, Jesus and a group of people with him arrive in this city of Nain. As they come to the city gate, we find there's a funeral procession coming out. We see the compassion of Christ. He has the man, he says, young man, arise. He rises up from the dead. What's missing? There's no faith involved here. Nobody came and asked the Lord to do this. In Lazarus was raised from the dead, we find exactly the same thing. There was no expression of faith. Rather, what we have here is simply what we read in Isaiah 46, where it says, God said, I am God. Number 2, my counsel shall stand. Number 3, I will do all my pleasure. Number 4, I have spoken it. 5, I will also bring it to pass. 6, I have purposed it. 7, I will also do it. God had a purpose in arriving at that town at that time, and that purpose was that we might know that this was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came with a plan and a purpose, and that plan and that purpose is still underway today. Do not be taken off guard by what is going on today. I've read the last chapter, and it turns out God is definitely in charge.